Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 13 again, because I've had a few more thoughts on this week. Philippians chapter 2. Let's read from verse 12. Shining as stars, what a lovely thought. Therefore, my dear friends, so he's talking to the believers in Philippi, the church, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. We said last week that our faith is not just for a Sunday, not just in church, but we must live out our faith on a day-to-day basis wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves planted, wherever we find ourselves in this coming week. We need to live out that which God has imparted into us. The Bible says that we can be filled with the presence of God, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen. And is that not what we wish to be? Running over. Because when we run over, we fill somebody else. And we said last week that it's so important that we look after our own salvation first. Because we cannot minister out of something that we don't have. So we need to look after our own heart. The Bible says, guard your heart. And so we need to look after our own spiritual state, make sure that's in a good place with the Lord, so that we can run over and fill someone else's cup. Hallelujah. But it's this thought again in verse 13 that has been on my mind this week. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And last week, we said that first of all, we need to know the will of God for our life. We need to discover it, and we need to separate ourselves to it, to consecrate ourselves to whatever God has given us to do. And then we said we've got to follow the will of God. Once we've found it, we've got to follow it. We've just sang that lovely song, Oceans, Lead Me. Lead Me. The whole theme of that song is leading, God leading his children, you and I, to a place where he wants us to be, a place without borders. In other words, somewhere that's not confined, somewhere where we can run over and be all that God wants us to be. Let me walk upon the waters. Wherever it is that God has ordained for each one of us, we need to follow him. Follow his will, follow his purpose, and be all that we can. And then finally, we said we need to finish the will of God. We need to be like the Apostle Paul, who knew he was coming to the end of his days and said, I have run the race, I have fought the fight. Now I am ready to be poured out like a drink offering, he said. We'll read that in the next few weeks of ministry. But it's on this business of God working in us, God doing his purpose, working his purposes out in our lives, that I've been thinking about this week a little bit. The Bible says in Psalm 139 and verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Amen. I don't know that there is a single thing in the universe that is as complex as the human body. There may be. I may be understating the universe. But for our size, Wow. How complex are we? Fearfully and wonderfully made. But it wasn't so much the physical aspects of our body that I was thinking about so much this week, but the uniqueness of each one of us before God. Amen. None of us are the same, are we? We all have different ways of doing things, sometimes different ways of interpreting things. You can say the same thing to two people and they'll hear different things because they'll be listening to what their ear is attuned to listen to what their mind wants to accept. We are so different. We are so unique. Each one of us, the Bible says, is made in the image of God. That means that we've been given the Spirit. Hallelujah. We are like God in the sense that we are spiritual beings as well as physical beings. And each one of us is different. We're different physically, we know that. Sometimes it's strange, isn't it? You come across somebody who looks identical to somebody that you already know. When we were a few weeks ago, when Chris and I were away, we saw a man, an old man, who looked identical to my Uncle Ray. We could have, he was Uncle Ray to a T. We thought, wow. In fact, Chris wanted to get a picture of him, but we couldn't. It would have been a bit cheeky. But man, sometimes people even look like one another, but our DNA is different. Our fingerprints are different. But it goes even deeper than that. It goes into the Spirit. Because God is working in each one of us differently to will and to act according to his good purpose. Now, this is encouraging because it stops any sense of competition between us. We're all different. God's call on our lives is different. The abilities and the grace that we're given to do those things are different. Brian Houston, the Hillsongs pastor, puts it like this, that we individually have a bubble of grace that we live in. And God will give each one of us our own bubble of grace so that we can do and be everything that God wants us to be within the bubble of his grace to each one of us personally. That's a good thought, isn't it? I thought that was good when I read that. I have been given the grace apportioned to me to do the things that God wants me to do. And that grace will be different to the grace that's given to you. Hallelujah. And so the Lord is working in us so that he can work through us because we are fearfully and wonderfully made individuals different before Christ, and yet we make up the whole. We make up the body of Christ. It's like one of those stone walls, dry stone walls that you find in Wales or in Scotland, up in the Peak District, where the farmer has gone along and took a million different stones and fitted them together individually. None of them are the same. But the farmer has took them and he's, piece by piece, stone upon stone, he's made the wall. And boy, those walls last for hundreds of years, don't they? He never shaped any of them. He just fitted them together the way that they were. And they're fit together so well that they don't even need cement between the stones. A dry stone wall. Wow. And God is building you and I, totally individual, totally different and unique, each one of us with our own foibles and our own differences and our own opinions and our own understandings. He's taking us and he's fitting us together into the wall that is the body of Christ. Bible calls us living stones. Living stones. And so we praise him this morning that he has a will for our life, and that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I want you this morning to feel comfortable in the bubble of grace that God has given each one of you. I want any thoughts of why can't I be like her or why can't I be like him to go from your minds. And I want you to find a place of contentment in who you are and what God has called you to do. Because again, for each one of us, that will be different. Totally, totally different. I said last week, I am comfortable in my own skin. I've not always been that way, but I am now. I know my limitations. But I also know this, that when God called me to preach, he was never going to abandon me. And I know that if I turn up, that he'll turn up. Amen. He wasn't that much older than me, but he's retired now. An AOG pastor called Andrew Smith, who I became friendly with some years ago. Andrew Smith said, never underestimate the power of continuing to turn up. Amen. Think about that. If you don't turn up, the job won't get done. Is that true? He said, never underestimate that. Now, this was a man who'd been in ministry for many years and was retiring. And he wrote down his retirement thoughts. And that was one of his thoughts. Never underestimate the power of just turning up. And I know, for me, my bubble of grace begins when I step up here or wherever I am. It could be anywhere. And open this word and start to speak. God's bubble of grace starts to work in my life. Now, that's my gift. That's my call. Might not be yours. Yours might be completely different. Your bubble of grace might begin somewhere totally, totally different to that. Maybe holding somebody's hand in an old people's home. Or looking after an aging relative. Or helping a sick child. Or just being the best employee you can possibly be. That's your bubble of grace. That's where God has placed you at this time and where he wants you to be and where he wants you to minister. So don't look at anybody else and say, Lord, why can't I be like them? I always wanted to be a stadium evangelist. My heroes were Reinhard Bonnke, Louis Palau, Billy Graham, people like that. And that's what I wanted to do. But that wasn't God's plan for me. Amen. That wasn't my bubble of grace. If I'd have pursued a career as an evangelist in that way, I would have failed. I know that now. Because that wasn't the will of God, the plan of God for me. Now, turn to the book of Ephesians. Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians follows that. I want to show you something just quickly this morning that blessed me this week. So I'm running over now. Amen. This blessed me first, and now I hope it'll run over to you. Right at the end of the book of Ephesians. No, sorry. No, it's not the end of the book. It's the very beginning of the book. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Where the Apostle Paul is introducing himself to the saints or the church at Ephesus. And he says this in the first verse, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints at Ephesus. So what's Paul doing here? I believe here that Paul is showing us and showing the church at Ephesus and whoever else reads this letter his bubble of grace. He's showing us who he is and why he does what he does. Okay, he says, Paul, that's who I am. He wasn't always Paul. He started off as Saul. But God's grace gripped him on the Damascus Road, took him from being a God-hater to being a God-lover. Amen. From being a Christ enemy to a Christ's ally, a servant of God. God took him from persecuting the church to blessing the church. The grace of God came upon Saul, and he became Paul. Hallelujah. And so even his name changed. So great was the change in this man's life. And now he identifies himself, I'm Paul. He could have said, I was Saul, but he didn't need to because most people were aware of who Paul was in the early church. I'm Paul, he says. So that's who he is. Now, you can put your name there this morning and say, well, I'm Wendy, or I'm Madhu, or I'm Smart, or whoever. That's me. That's who I am. That's my personality. That's my presence. That's who I am when I walk into the room, when I come into the situation. I am John. That's me. And you can put your name there. I am whoever you are. And then he goes on and he says, an apostle of Christ Jesus. So he's Paul, the apostle. You see, the apostle is what he does. Amen? It's what he does. We used to say, here's Bob the builder. Because that's what he did all his life. He built things. Hallelujah. Who are you? You're Dawn. Amen. We're all somebody and we all do something. Even if we're retired, we're still doing something, aren't we? You know, none of us are sat on our backsides 14, 15 hours a day waiting for bed to come round. Even the oldest of us are still doing something. We're still here for a reason. And if you don't know what that reason is, that's why you need to find it. Paul found his reason, didn't he? I am Paul, the apostle. Now, the apostle means someone who is sent by God, specifically sent by him. And Paul was an apostle, sent by God. So I'm Paul, that's who I am. I'm an apostle, that's what I do. I travel with the word of God, and I minister to the churches. That's me. I'm Paul the Apostle. So I want you to say, I'm Nina the Volunteer. Very good. Wonderful. That's good, isn't it? We need to all volunteer for something, you know. Amen. We're here for duty. We're in the army of the Lord. We're not civilians anymore. So I want you to think this morning, you are Smart the whatever. Amen. You don't need to vocalize it, but think what you are. What has God given you to do? Where does your bubble of grace and influence extend to? You might be somebody the grandma or somebody the grandfather. You might be somebody the electrician or somebody the plumber or whatever, whatever, whatever. But we're all somebody in Christ. Hallelujah. So let's pick this up again. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Praise the Lord. I like that. By the will of God. You see, that's his authority to do what he does. And we all need an authority to do what we do. The policeman is not a policeman without the uniform and the badge. He is, but he doesn't have the authority anymore. If a policeman in plain clothes steps out into the road and holds his hand up for you to stop, you have every right to avoid him. I wouldn't knock him down, but you can ignore him. Why? Because, yes, he's still a policeman, but he hasn't got his badge of authority on. He is not recognized when he's in plain clothes. A soldier is not recognized except by his uniform. That's his authority. He's signed up to serve the Queen, Queen and country. And so he's given a uniform which gives him authority. And the Apostle Paul said, I am Paul the Apostle by the will of God. He never decided to be an apostle. He didn't petition the disciples in Jerusalem and say, make me the 12th apostle. His apostleship came by the will of God, and it gave him authority. You see, I could say, what could I say to you this morning? I am John, the psychiatrist. And I'm a psychiatrist because I've decided I can psych you out. Well, I wouldn't have a clue to what to do, would I? Not an absolute clue. I would have no ability, no authority, nothing. I could say to you this morning, I am John, the brain surgeon. Come and lie down on the table here at the front and let me operate on your head. Now, you're not going to do that, are you? Because I don't have a diploma after years and years and years and years and years of study and practical experience that gives me the right to open up your head and alter your brain. I can't do that. Even if I think I can't do it. I cannot decide to be something I am not. We need to know where our authority comes from, and whatever we do in God, our authority comes from Him. I am John, the preacher, by the will of God. I know that because God separated me out to that at a very early age. Anything else I do is a bonus to that. Well, that's my calling, and it always has been, and it always will be. Hallelujah. And so we know who we are, we know what we do, we know where our authority comes from. And then finally, and we'll close with this morning, I told you I'd be short today. He says, to the saints in Ephesus. So that's who he's ministering to, right? You see the progress. He's Paul, this is who I am. I'm an apostle, that's what I do. It's by the will of God, that's my authority and my credential to you at Ephesus. Amen. And that's his audience, if you like. That's the people who he's been given to influence. You're in my bubble of grace this morning because you attend this gathering of believers that we call the church. And so I have the authority this morning to speak God's word into your life because you're here. If you were to take yourself somewhere else, you'd be under somebody else's authority in that sense. And so we all have a sphere of influence within our grace that we've been given. It might be our family. It might be our friends. It might be our work colleagues. It might be our house group. Whatever it is, it's yours because God has given it to you at this time. So take it and use it. Amen. The Apostle Paul had a massive sphere of influence, didn't he? All the churches that he founded, the churches that he visited, the churches that he wrote to, what a massive sphere of influence. And his writings are still influencing us today, 2,000 years later. Praise the Lord for the Apostle Paul. He knew who he was, he knew what he was, he knew where his authority came from, and he knew who he ministered to. And each one of us needs to grasp those four things for ourselves, and when we do, our sphere of influence will be far more effective. When we realize that we are what we are because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we are what we are by the grace of God. Amen. and we're each unique and different in the building of God's wall, in the building of his body. We are equally parts of it. Whether we call ourselves an apostle, an evangelist, a preacher, a plumber, a carpenter, an electrician, an office worker, an administrator, doesn't matter what we call, what we're called this morning, we are all part of the same building. Amen. And God doesn't look on one more favorably than another, but what he does do, he gives you the grace that you need so that your bubble, that I used to preach from Ezekiel, I think it was. Could be wrong about that. Might be Isaiah, I'm not sure. About the revival of your square meter. Do you remember that? I'm not so sure about national revival. I never have been. But I'm sure of this, that God can revive my square meter. Where I stand, where I go, God can go with me. And I can live in a permanent state of revival because God will bless my square meter. Amen. And he'll bless yours. And whatever is within your bubble of influence, God will bless if you will allow him. Just make sure you're in that place where you're pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen. Like it was said of Joseph, his branch ran over the wall so that others could pick fruit on the other side of the wall. Amen. We used to have a pear tree or an apple tree. I can't remember. An apple tree it was in Len's garden next door to us. And it grew over the wall and dropped its apples on our lawn. Now, sadly, they weren't the best apples in the world. Well, I think we did make the odd pie with them, or the odd stewed apple. But you see, they were Len's apples, but they grew over the wall, so they became our apples. And that's how God wants each one of us to live. Get your tree rooted in him. Get growing. Get producing fruit. And then others will come and benefit from your overflowing in Christ as you lean over the wall. Amen. So let's just close now as we recap that. Paul, that's who he was. An apostle of Christ, that's who he did. What he did by the will of God, that was his authority to the church at Ephesus. That was his sphere of ministry. Who are you? What do you do? Where does your authority come from? And who are you ministering to this morning? And going back to our original verse, in Philippians, it says, therefore, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. The Lord bless you all.